Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good afternoon, friends. Good afternoon. There you go. Got some fresh coffee. This is good. Good room to be in. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and happy to be sharing with you this morning. It's cold out. It's cold. Last night, we have a number of international students that are around these days, and we had a bunch of them over last night for a hot pot. Anybody ever have a hot pot? You have to say it kind of different than I'd normally say it. A hot pot. I mean, that's how I say it. And never been at that kind of a table before. And as the one who had prepared it began to give us some instruction, they said, well, if you like hot and spicy, you got to go to that end of the table. And if you don't, you got to go to that end of the table. So wanting to have the full experience, I went to this end of the table. And I managed for the hour and a half to stay at this side of the table. Now, I must say that I was sweating and I was like dripping because it was so hot and I was eating food that I'm not used to. So while it's cold outside, it's really hot in here for me still. And I think that I'm probably good for about minus 20 right now outside. So I'm just, I'm not sure what's going on here, but it's the hot pot. And I did manage to stay with the cool people at that end of the table. So I'm cool. Yeah. I'm hot, yeah. I didn't say that. He said that. I just repeated it. Anyways, we're in a study in the Gospel of Luke. If you've been around here for any length of time, you know that we find that it's helpful to take a long view of Scripture rather than a short view. We've been in and out of Luke since December, and we're finding ourselves in Luke chapter 3. So we're slow learners, maybe. I don't know what it is. But there's something about taking a big, long view of Scripture. And you're going to find today that as we work through these 20 verses, that it's a little bit back, it's a little bit forward. And I'm sure you can keep up. But here we are today in Luke chapter 3. Some of the slides say Luke chapter 2, but it's actually Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. So getting ready for a shakeup. This is what we're seeing as we begin to explore the scenes that Luke brings to us. Last Sunday, we concluded chapter 2. And Luke Knight highlighted the fact that as we move along in the Gospel of Luke, there's these rumblings surrounding the life of Jesus. And these rumblings, these stirrings are beginning to grow. And we see this through what Luke Knight showed us last week about preteen Jesus at the temple. Very unexpectedly, Jesus disappears on Mary and Joseph, where they thought he was walking away from the temple back home. They realized he wasn't with them and came back to the temple in the midst of somewhat of a frantic search to find him. And there Jesus, the preteen, was in the temple. Out of this story, we're reminded that God will many times inconvenience us by drawing us into a larger story than the story of us or ourselves. We really see this in Mary and Joseph right off the hop, the parents of Jesus. God wasn't fitting in, even as a preteen, God wasn't fitting into the boxes that people were making for him, even his parents were making for him. And we see that. And we'll see that as we walk forward in the Gospel of Luke, because we've read some of the stories. There's so many times when Jesus was supposed to be here, Jesus was actually over there and going, what's with that? Or there are times when Jesus was supposed to do that, but yet he did that, and we're going as people, what's unfolding? there's two questions that Luke brought to the surface, and we need to go back there before we go forward. The first question that was brought to us from the story of Jesus, the preteen, was, are we ready to be drawn deeper beyond our control and understanding in this faith journey? In your faith journey, in my faith journey, are we prepared, as Luke spoke so well, are we prepared for God to outgrow us? Meaning, are we prepared to allow God to act in ways that we don't understand, or ways that inconvenience us? And perhaps even at the end of those troubled days, that we would say, I'm okay with that. I don't understand it, but I trust to be on a journey of building a trusted relationship with the one who's leading us. The second question that surfaced last week is, who are we to be tuned into as we begin or continue on this faith journey? For we saw last week, demonstrated in the life of preteen Jesus, who he was tuned into. There were things that he was aware of, attuned into, and he was bringing forward that was so different than what many other people had were experiencing, even as we've mentioned Mary and Joseph. He was tuned in some way to a different dial, to a different frequency. And a fair question, a very fair question for us as we look over our lives is actually, who are we tuned into? Who is it, who has our utmost attention? So as we leave chapter 2, we do so with the sense that there's something more to be tuned into. And as Jesus comes onto the scene, things may become inconvenient for us. He may outgrow us. So Luke chapter 3 begins, and it begins kind of in the way every Star Wars movie begins. You've seen them? They always begin with the music, which we don't have, but we have the idea of that script, of those yellow letters, right? You've seen those? And those letters are telling the cosmic tale of what's going on. And in some ways, in this passage of Scripture, that is how Luke is beginning to set the stage for who we're introduced to in John the Baptist a little bit later in verse 3. Luke is setting the stage and giving us some context for the next part of the story, which is initially John the Baptist, but then ultimately, when he shows up, things really do move along, as we'll see next week. But it's interesting, again, that Luke took time to list all the political players, stating it like this. It was the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. He does this so perhaps we would have clarity about who is seemingly in charge these days. Where does the power lie, and help us understand the order of things? How interesting. Specifically, we hear in this verse of Emperor Tiberius, quite a fascinating historical person, living in seclusion and opulence in a personal fortress on the island of Capri, just off the southern coast of Italy. A few summers ago, we traveled along that coast. We were on the Amalfi Coast, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then we went up towards Sorrento, there to be able to look across the water and actually see where the Isle of Capri is still today. And if you've traveled that coast, those coasts, and even onto the Isle of Capri, you know that it's rocky. There's rocky cliffs that separate, most cases, water from land. And so here we have Tiberius building his throne, building his home, and calling his palace Villa Jophis, which means the house of Jupiter. And we have a picture of it, an artist's sketch of that, which would have been his palace on the tip of the Isle of Capri. And then naming his home Villa Jophis, House of Jupiter. For the Romans, Jupiter was the god of sky and thunder, or the king of all gods. So this gives us a little bit of an idea of what Tiberius thought about himself and what he wanted everybody else to think about him. Kind of a large and in charge kind of a thing going on. By Luke chapter 3, history tells us that Tiberius had dissolved the Roman Senate simply because he was paranoid of assassination. And so taking every precaution to secure for himself a place to sit and ultimately, in some ways, what he thought, serve, he found himself in this type of a context, creating an island stronghold, sitting on a throne seemingly immovable, ruling with an iron fist of luxury and at a distance. And how interesting it is that Luke mentions him, and then the others that he mentioned were also ruling with fear and control, sitting behind high walls, working constantly to hang on to power through violence, extortion, and any other means necessary for their personal security and safety. So we note where Luke starts us as he begins to introduce the ministry of his forerunner, John the Baptist. So it's again with this geopolitical background surfacing that Luke introduced this character for the rest 18 verses, and his name is John, the child of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he's the cousin of Jesus. And Luke writes this to introduce him. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show they had turned to God. So here, maybe you're following along in your Bible. But Luke's introduction of John is kind of dramatic. He begins a chapter by lifting a curtain on what is happening broadly, and then he narrowly and very quickly goes right back down to John, who is living out in the wild, so far from where the political players were. And not only that, Paul's over in the Jordan River baptizing people. So how interesting Luke moves along the narrative. So again, remember, John is a prophet. And prophets, Old and New Testament, they seem to be divisive. It was kind of always a love-hate relationship with the prophets, Old and New Testament. They were the truth tellers. Their message was often inconvenient, unconventional. They'd speak their mind whether they were asked or not. They'd tell it like it is. And they were certainly problematic for those in power. So here is John taking the place of a servant and doing what he sensed God was asking of him. And he was doing so in a way that was kind of universal and cosmic, but yet it also did land in the midst of real life. And it seems from what Luke wrote about him, he helped a lot of people. He didn't certainly come with a badge of honor, but he had authority. He wasn't summoning people for his own benefit, but rather for the benefit of the listener. And Luke says he was given a message from God. I find it very interesting to think that you and I are able to be carriers of the message of God. It's fascinating. What a affirmation from God to think that he would entrust us. We heard about the ministry of reconciliation, that we would be able to be carriers of a good message that could help people. And this is John. John's simply doing what was asked of him. And Luke says it this way, telling a message from God, a message that wasn't easy to share, but yet necessary to share, a message that people should return to God and come away from where they are, away from their sin, away from their error, and come back to God. Draw near to God, because as John was beginning to tell to the people, Jesus is drawing near to them. So, how interesting, Luke records, as John speaks, people listen. And it's fascinating to think. I hope you can find your way in the story here. It's here in the Jordan, at least unlikely. But yet there was a message that was endearing to people, three times people. There was the Jewish people heard a message and were actually people that were familiar with the prophet's message. Now to get that comment, you go back to the Old Testament. Here we have, again, larger story. The Jewish people, the Israelites for years have been under Roman oppression. So the thought of a prophet coming along and with the thought of liberating themselves and being out from Roman rule was certainly something that was interesting for them and hopeful for them. But it wasn't just the Jewish people that were listening. It was what the Jewish people would call the outsiders, and kind of a terrible label. But to the Jewish one, they were perhaps thought of as the outsiders. And who are we referring to? In John chapter 3, we hear that the tax collectors were showing up, and John was speaking to them, and they were being baptized. The soldiers were showing up and hearing the message and being baptized. These outsiders were finding their way. In a very similar way in which back in December when we discussed how the shepherds, upon hearing that the Christ child had been born, these were the outsiders. And upon hearing the message and being obedient, they were being brought in to the center of the activity of God. And that's what was happening here with the Jewish ones that were hearing, the tax collectors and the soldiers. The outsiders were being moved into the center. And friends, that always happens when we are hearers of the word and obey the word. We move from the outside into the center, because God has no respecter of nations or people. Right? Very telling. So John was sharing a message, people were responding and being baptized, and then asking the big question, what do we do next? And in verses 10 to 14, John says what to do next. And it's so fascinating. The crowds asked, this is after baptism, what should we do? John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized. And as teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some soldiers. John replied, don't extort money or make false accusations. Be content with your pay. We got to note this for a second, because there's something that we need to pay attention to here. It's interesting to me, and we're learning together, but I find it interesting that one of the first messages we hear about the way forward in the kingdom of God addresses money. You know, repent and be baptized. What should we do? Money surfaces. It seems so random, but it needs to be duly noted. It's as if God was saying early on in the way in which there's a shakeup and the way that there is anticipation. God says early on, you have to get your money moving in the right direction if you're going to be a follower of mine. I saw this comic this week. The only exercise I've done this month is running out of money. John is so something going on there that you and I would do well to pay attention to. So John is saying, rather than, and again, contrasting, rather than building walls and protecting your stuff, don't guard it, give it away. John's calling them to share what they have with one another and not to take advantage of one another when they have the chance. So how interesting. See, John's not just sharing a message. He's beginning to talk about kingdom culture and how true culture is formed. And you can't, I mean, here we see a culture of sharing and serving so quickly out of the gate. So here at the heart of this message, John is moving into center stage this vision of a forgotten throne. John's saying, never mind about who you think's in charge around here. Never mind the thrones found behind deep-set walls guarded by thousands of troops. John the Baptist is saying they're pretenders. There is a forgotten throne about any other, John is saying. And this throne's not going to be vacant for much longer because God is on the move. Get ready for a real shakeup. So talk about an important ministry that John the Baptist was given to help people get ready for the big deal, the big Jesus that we're going to see and discover for the rest of our study in the book of Luke. See, at the heart of John's message in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20, is that things were just getting started. Luke noted that many people thought that John was the Messiah and that he was this liberator, and how wisely John said, no, I'm not the main act. I don't deliver the main message here. Someone else is coming. And he writes it this way, someone greater than I am, so much greater, I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. A humble man, sharing humbly a message that shakes everything up. So here's this prophet being responsible, announcing good news that right around the corner, and we're going to hear about this again beginning next week, but right around the corner there's this liberator, there's this Jesus, the Savior of the world, someone who will bring a kind of freedom and deliverance not only to Israel but to the whole world. And it won't be about politics or palaces or privilege. It's going to be about the rule of God in a person's life and how we get along loving each other. John's a good person. So the question that John is asking from the onset, and it's actually going to be the question that we're going to hear Luke share in terms of what Jesus kept bringing back to his followers, these three questions. Whose side are you on? Are you in or are you out? Because you've got to choose who you want to rule you. And as John gets going, and so obviously confronting so many things in his message, it actually ended up costing him his life. But yet he felt the message was worthy of his life. So again, here we meet in Luke chapter 3, John, cousin of Jesus, out in the wild, at the Jordan River, just across from the Mediterranean Sea is the Isle of Capri, and he's out there in the Jordan with this message, perhaps that would be the message of summary. God says the time is now for things to change. So stop going the way you are and turn the other direction, but get ready for a real shakeup, because a genuine liberator is on the way, and he's unlike all the other pretenders. You fast forward Luke's message in the Gospel of Luke, we eventually see a tortured and dying Jesus hanging on a cross, and many scoffing, hanging on a Roman cross, and many scoffing, saying, hey, a failed deliverer. But again, that's all part of the shakeup. So last weekend, many of us, actually 150 million of us, watched the 53rd Super Bowl, right? And, boring game. Boring. A long 4 hours, even with PVR. Long, boring game. What I find interesting about the Super Bowl and all the lead-up is the journalism, is the reporting. I find it so curious to see how journalists try to find ways to tell a contrasted story. So, you know, slides like this, you've got this coach, the old man, versus the young coach over here, and you've got the old quarterback up against the young quarterback, and you've got the defense and the offense and the offense versus, and it's all piles up in contrast to help people see the storylines. And I'm not a journalist, and maybe there's some journalists in this room, but I find that simple journaling, because it's just easy and it's quick. Who's there? Who's there? And you begin to build your case, and then you help people figure out which side you like. And Luke Knight and I talked many times this week about this passage of Scripture. And I think we came to a conclusion that when Luke, in Luke chapter 3, was journaling the events, he wasn't offering simple journalism. He wasn't offering contrast. Because in this passage of Scripture, if you've been following from Luke 1 to Luke 3, there are already a bunch of contrasts. Let me mention a few of the contrasts. Two very different responses to John's message. Herod eventually, upon hearing John the Baptist's message, says, kill him. And that happens. Contrasting. John the Baptist sharing a message. People say, I receive that message. I will be baptized into that story. And what must I now do? Contrast. There's more contrast. Two very different views on money and personal security. There's a message here that says, for your personal security, build walls, gather your stuff, protect your stuff. Contrasted with John's message, saying, if you want a secure future, give yourself away and pursue the blessing of God upon your life, because He will bless you. Contrast. Two very different kingdoms that are already in play as we begin to discover the narrative in the Gospel of Luke. Two different kind of kingdoms. A 15-year kingdom that Tiberius was proud of and hiding on the Isle of Capri, versus the contrast of the rule of God in a person's heart and life that translates into good deeds. Luke in this passage is doing more than contrasting. Why do we say that? Because there's a bigger story unfolding, and it's simply because no one compares to Jesus. You can't contrast Jesus anywhere with anyone because it's Jesus. There's just one Jesus. There's just one frequency to dialing in to that. There is but just one world order that Jesus has come to set in place. There is just one Jesus, and it's about following one, just one, and being tuned in to that Lord and that Savior as a hearing person. There's no contrast to that. It's a new way. It's a brand new way to live. And back in Luke chapter 3, some people got their mind around it and others didn't. And it's still the same today. But at the end of the day, what John is saying, it's good journalism that we're benefiting from. Luke is saying, get ready for a shakeup. Get ready for a shakeup. Because in many ways, what we face if we listen and respond to the good news about Jesus will many times be a shakeup. You can't like the gospel and not like change. You and I will as well be drawn out into the wild by a voice, work of the Holy Spirit, telling us something different than what other people tell us and even sometimes what we tell ourselves. And this voice, the work of the Spirit, crying in the wilderness says, if we want to be a people of faith, if we want to follow Jesus, we better get used to our worlds being shaken up. Got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because no matter what anyone else says, at the end of the day, there's only one throne. There's only one true God. There is only one Jesus. It's not a story of contrast at all. So what are our takeaways? What are our takeaways today? As we prepare ourselves to move along and be further introduced to Jesus in the coming weeks. Today, what would be our takeaways? I think our takeaway would be the challenge to begin to realize just how many pretenders or false gods there are that surround us. And how many thrones are piled up around us. And as I would reflect on my own life, even within me. Just as there were in John and Jesus' time, these pretenders, these false gods will happily rule us if they are left unchecked. Because friends, their example and their messages are in our world today at an all-time high. So how wise it was for Luke Knight last week to challenge us on whose message are you dialed into? These pretenders, these false gods tell us that life is all about achievement and productivity and that our worth and purpose hinge on getting ahead and staying ahead. So we better get on with doing something sparkly or impressive with our lives. Not sure that was the message in the wilderness. These pretenders or false gods tell us there's nothing wrong with only ever looking out for number one. And they lure us toward pride, greed, lust, and selfishness. Luke 3 calls us to pay attention to what way our money's moving. These pretenders and false gods keep us anxious and afraid of the future because control of tomorrow is to be in our hands, not God's. And finally, these pretenders and false gods, they have a lot to say. And I think there's times, and again, I would reflect on my own life, sooner or later we may realize that there are times that we are pretenders ourselves. and in need of a Savior. Over and over and over again, we need this saving grace over and over and over again. So what's the good news? The good news is that there is grace for this journey. And that the road we move along on is founded with grace, not with our good works. Because as I hear this stuff, I realize I get it wrong more than I get it right. That's why I'm thankful for grace. Because we lean into this, not placing upon this story our good works, but we receive the grace that comes to us for the journey ahead. It's a grace journey. It's not a good works journey. And this is the good news that comes to us today. Maybe that's why a real shakeup is maybe a good thing for us, because there is a good news that you and I can admit that we need help. We need to be rescued continually. We need to lay our lives down, knowing that that's a good thing to do. Remembering that there's a forgotten throne that isn't vacant anymore, that Jesus is on a throne, and that Jesus didn't or doesn't sit behind high walls on a fortified island. No, he draws near and he stands among us in a crowd. He moves into our lives and into our neighborhood. Jesus, who didn't and doesn't isolate himself from our pain and suffering and death, but he himself was baptized into it all. Resurrected, providing victory for us that we can be drawn into and benefit from if we let him. So in simple summary, our message for our Living Waters community today is just simply stating it this way. Luke chapter 3 asks us to face up to the pretenders around us. And even as I would say this and speak this back over my own life, even the pretender that would be perhaps staring back at me when I look in the mirror. That's why the thought of a welcoming a real shakeup may be a really good thing, because it might get all of us to where we need to get to in a good amount of time. We stand together as we close. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. I would encourage you to visit those verses again for yourself this week. And discover for yourself. Let's be in a conversation this week. So many of our, I know many of you will be discussing this in our life groups, which happen all week. And I know some of you are very diligent in your personal study to unearth other things from these 20 verses. And we'd love to hear what you're learning. Let's bow our heads as we close and find a moment before we conclude our service. Thanks for leaning in to a challenging passage, friends. I trust through your personal study this week and even maybe some of the conversations that will happen in our life groups that, yeah, good comes as we lean in. Lord, today, we sense you drawing near. We thank you for the grace that so richly abounds, for the message of your kingdom, the grace that abounds for being people, being families, being friends, being a community, a congregation that welcomes you. Thank you for the grace for that. And oh, how we need grace. Lord, we want to be the real thing. We know that you were, and we thank you for the Gospel of Luke, which points us in a good direction. And we pray that all of us, as we seek to honor you and serve you, we pray that we'd find long-term contentment in allowing you to lead our lives, Thank you for the grace and the courage to walk through intersections, which cause us to lay certain things down and to pick other things up as we move along on our faith journey. We thank you for the hope for time on earth, but ultimately this great hope for all eternity, when truly you will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and truly be recognized eternally for who you are. Thanks for letting us in your story. Help us to be to carry that message well in a way that uplifts you and helps us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning at Living Waters, walking through Luke chapter 3. Thanks for your time in the Word today. Have a great afternoon.